at your word, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The line of that verse says, just to rest upon his promise. There's a lot of things in life that'll make us frantic, that'll make us agitated, or that will make us anxious. But we have promises from God on which we can rest. We can settle our spirits, we can settle our souls, our worries, and our anxieties on the God who said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. He said, I'm the healer of all of your diseases. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the God in whom we're trusting today, and we can rest on his promises. Would you just give that to him right now, a praise and a confidence in him? Let your spirit begin to settle and begin to rest. I don't know what's going on in your world right now, but here's what I know. You can rest in the promises of God. You can rest in the word and in the power and the surety of God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That first song talked about the name, the powerful name of Jesus. Scripture says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into and they're saved. We find safety and we find rest in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is attached to all the power of our Almighty God. We have reason to trust and to be settled this morning. We have reason to be at peace, to know that there is hope, because we have Jesus this morning. Amen. I am thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful to know him. I'm thankful to be known of him. I'm thankful for his work in this service, in our 9 a.m. service. And if you did not tune in, please make some time tonight or this week to tune in to the 9 a.m. service on Facebook and hear our pastor preach, There's Healing in the Body. A message that we need, a message of hope and sustaining through troubled and sick times that we are in. There's healing in the body, and I'm thankful for that word this morning. I'm going to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 16 and Luke chapter 24. Two verses in Matthew chapter 16, familiar verses to us. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Jesus speaking, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He not only made a declaration, he made a promise within that declaration that says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He goes on and says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And then in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Jesus again speaking, just before he ascended, said to his disciples, said to his then church, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. There was a promise made to the church that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. And the reason the gates of hell will not prevail against the church is because he is going to endue the church with power from on high. And we know from Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 that that power that was endued and put upon them from on high was the power of the Holy Ghost. It was the power of the Spirit of the Almighty God. And today I'm going to preach to you the Spirit-filled church. The Spirit-filled church. If you are a part of the Spirit-filled church, I invite you to lift your hands and declare faith. And would you open your mouth and declare the word of the Lord this morning? God, we thank you for your word, and we declare your sure and precious promises today. And we are a part of your church. We are glad, we are proud, we are happy to be a part of your church. And today we ask that you would do what you want to do in this house, oh God. Let your work be accomplished in this place today. Not just in this physical location, but throughout the church wide, globally, I pray that your will would be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And if you're going to help me preach about the Spirit-filled church, you can sit down. And even if you're not, go. Okay, got everybody. All right. I just want to start this morning. Kind of already have, but just by making sure that I'm in an apostolic Pentecostal Book of Acts church. We're an apostolic. We believe, preach, and teach the doctrine of the apostles. We believe in the Pentecostal experience, the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. We believe that all things are passed away and all things have become new when we are endued with that power from on high. We're in an apostolic Pentecostal Spirit-filled church this morning. You know, here on Barracks View, there's two churches. And when I used to work in the office, I lost count of how many times funeral flowers would show up to APC that were actually meant to go down to Peace Lutheran. Or people knocking on our door thinking we were Peace Lutheran and we'd have to send them down there. I hope they got some of our people too. I hope they got inundated with people looking for APC. But just so we're clear on Barracks View this morning, we're in an apostolic Pentecostal church. We're in a Spirit-filled, Jesus name, blood-washed, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church this morning. And I'm glad to be a part of a Pentecostal church. I'm glad to be Spirit-filled. I don't apologize for speaking in tongues. I don't apologize for yielding myself to the power of the Spirit and being filled with His Spirit. I don't apologize for it. I'm happy about it. I'm glad to be a part of the church. In a church when I was 9 years old, I repented of my sins and I was baptized in Jesus' name by immersion for the remission of those sins. And then I was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You're in such a church this morning. If you've never experienced that, you can today because you're in a Spirit-filled church. We're a church that believes you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Outlined in John chapter 3 verse 5. We believe that everyone can and should be filled with the Spirit of God. From Acts chapter 2 verses 38 and 39. We believe in being led by the Spirit. In our services. But also in our daily lives. We believe in being governed by the Spirit. It tells us what to do. And what not to do. Did you know that? The Spirit guides us. It governs us. It gives that conviction when we need it. And it gives us that help and that strength when we need it. It tells us what to do and what not to do. And we believe here at APC in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. They're outlined in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and places in Romans throughout the epistles. We believe in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that the Spirit makes intercession for us. We pray in the Spirit. We believe that the Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. From John 16:13. And we believe that we are empowered by the Spirit from Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which was the answer to Luke 24, 49. He said, I'm going to endue you with power from on high. And then in verse 8, he says, but you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is our empowerment. And we're a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered church. We are the church. We're not the only church, 901 Barracks View, but we're part of a larger church. The church in Asia, the church in Africa and in Australia, the church in North America, the church in South America, the church in Europe and the Middle East. We're a part of the church. And we're glad and we're happy and we're blessed to be a part of the church. And as we read in our text, Matthew chapter 16, this church was instituted by God. It was part of His design, the church. He said, I will build my church. It's His church. This church belongs to Him. We listen to Him. We follow Him. We're on His mission. We are the church that Jesus Christ instituted. And He said the gates of hell will not prevail. So whatever the outcome of the election this Tuesday, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That doesn't mean we're going to win every election. That doesn't mean everything's going to go right. But at the end of the day, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because we can pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. So really, we may be worried a little bit, but we don't have to be worried a little bit at all, because God is in control. He's in charge and we're in His hand. We are His design. We are His church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter, writing about the church, said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, but are now the church of the living God, but are now the body of Christ, that we should show forth the praises of Him who's called us out. I wonder if I'm preaching and talking to anybody who's been called out of a life of sin, that He rescued you out of the miry clay that He found you in. He didn't leave you there. He didn't leave you in your addictions and your brokenness, but He called you out of that. He rescued you out of your sin. Oh, let's give Him praise for that. He's deserving of it. Let's never lose our gratitude and thankfulness that You have called us out of darkness, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. He's called us out. And He's called us together. Pastor preached about the body of Christ this morning, and that's what we've been called together into. We've been called together. I wasn't just saved from my sins or rescued from my past. I was put into a body. I was placed into, called into. There's weight with that call. That's not just a, hey, Amber, come over here and be part of APC. No, there's a responsibility. There's a heaviness. There's a weight in that calling together. And He has called us together to minister to one another, to edify one another, to help and to encourage and support and to love one another. And I'm thankful for the help and the love and the encouragement and the support that we have here at our APC family. When one suffers, we all suffer with them. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. That's the body of Christ. That's what we are intended to do when we're called together as the body, as the church of Jesus Christ. And we've not just been called out and called together, but we have been called for a purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writing to the church of the first century, equally applicable to the church of the 21st century, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us," or who has repaired the relationship between us and God. He's reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We're called for a purpose. He goes on in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling or repairing the relationship, healing the relationship between the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And there it is again, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We were reconciled to God. We were called out of darkness. We were called into marvelous light. And with that reconciliation, with that repair that's taken place, when we came to him and we were broken, busted and disgusted, as they say. When we came to him, he rescued us from that. He reconciled our relationship with him. All things passed away, and all things became new. And with that newness also came a new purpose, and it was the word of reconciliation, calling us for a purpose. Verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you," or we plead with you, or we make every effort towards you in Christ's stead, or as Christ's body. We pray you, as Christ's body, be ye reconciled to God. Those that are not yet reconciled, those that are still wandering in the lostness of their sin, they're still broken and they're still hurting and they're still wounded and they're still captive. We have a calling. We have a responsibility for them with the ministry of reconciliation to say, be reconciled to God. Everybody that we come in contact with can be reconciled to God. There's no individual on death row for a horrible crime that they have committed that God cannot reconcile them to himself. That he can't heal that relationship. He can and he wants to heal that relationship. It's why he instituted the church. It's why he instituted the body. And he gave us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're not righteous in and of ourselves. We're not clean, we're not whole, we are not complete in and of ourselves, but we are complete in him, Paul said in Colossians. And then chapter 6, verse 1, to me, finishes this thought. I don't like the chapter division there. It wasn't inspired, so I can say that. But chapter 6, verse 1 says, "We then, who have been reconciled, who have been made a part of the Spirit-filled church, we are then workers together with him." And he says, "We beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain." It would be in vain for us to have received God's grace if we don't then go and minister reconciliation and the grace of God to somebody else. That's what Paul's saying there. It would be as if the grace of God in our lives has no effect. It's useless. It's void. It's done. It's reversed. If we don't then take that word of reconciliation and we take it to the hungry and we take it to the broken and we take it to those that are confused and those that are messed up and those that are addicted, we've got to take the word of reconciliation. It's why he instituted the church. It's why he filled us with his spirit. Oh, are you still glad you're a part of a spirit-filled church? Thank you, Jesus. We are workers together with him to help him accomplish his purpose in the world. I'm sorry if you thought receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost was the end of your experience in the church, because I'm here to shake that a little bit. And I don't think I have to shake too hard in this crowd. But I'm here to shake that loose from our minds and from our thinking that, well, I've got the Holy Ghost. Check, I'll just sit on a pew for the rest of my life. That wasn't the purpose that he instituted the church. Not for it just to be a safe place for us to come on Sundays and Wednesdays and hear the word of the Lord and feel his presence and worship him. Those are good byproducts and benefits of the church, but it's not the purpose of the church. The purpose that we were called for is found in 2 Corinthians 5. It's also found in the mission of Jesus in Luke 19, to seek and to save those who are lost, to minister the word of reconciliation, to provide a place, to provide an atmosphere where people can come broken and they can leave healed, where people can come to us all disgusting inside and they can come mad at themselves and frustrated at life, but they can leave with the peace of God that passes all understanding. They can leave our presence with the peace of God. It will go with them and it will help them. We were made, we were created, we were designed as the church to fulfill his purpose in the world. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, we see Jesus going to church. And Brother Reaver, I have in my margins here that on February the 3rd of 2013, on a Sunday morning, you preached, Jesus always shows up for church. Do you remember that? He does. Okay, good. Jesus always shows up for church. Because there's good things that happen at church. I'm not saying they only happen at church, but there's good things that happen at church. Jesus, verse 16 says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, where he had been raised. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. I think he heard Pastor's sermon about scheduling everything else around church rather than scheduling church around everything else. Because it says it was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He was faithful to church. He was faithful to the gathering of believers. In COVID, that's been tested a little bit. We had to gather in our homes with your family, or via Zoom, or watching online. But Jesus didn't forsake the gathering of the believers. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That day, that synagogue became a spirit-filled church. Maybe not in the way that we're spirit-filled just quite yet. But he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me for a couple of things." His Spirit is beneficial through us for a couple of things. To preach the gospel to the poor. To preach that there is good news. Peter preached a great message last Sunday. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. About good news. The Spirit empowers us to preach good news to the poor. Jesus said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We find Jesus attending church at a local synagogue, and we find Jesus participating and engaging with what was going on, because it says He stood up to read the scripture that day. Jesus understood that His role on earth was to accomplish the will of God, to do what God wanted done. And I hope we can feel the call, the invitation, and the responsibility as the body of Christ to fulfill the mission of what God wants done in our world. The Spirit anointed Jesus to do those works, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the broken heart. This passage is beautiful to me. I read this passage and I think, I want that for my APC family. I want that for the city of St. Louis. I want that for the world. I want the gospel to be preached to the poor. I want God to heal those who are brokenhearted. There's broken hearts sitting on this pews today. There's brokenhearted in this room today. There's those who feel captive in this room today. There are those who feel blind to what God is doing. And we're preaching about 2020 vision a lot, but you just feel like I'm blind. I can't see what God is doing. I can't even see Him. But there's recovery of sight for the blind through the power and the work of the Spirit this morning. He came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And as I was praying in pre-service prayer, I didn't feel the full weight of it, but I felt the oppression that some of you are carrying into this room today. Oppressed by life, by things that didn't turn out the way you thought they would. Oppressed by perhaps spirits that are tormenting you. Frustrations that you cannot seem to shake. There are those that are oppressed today. But I'm happy to tell you that you're in a Spirit-filled church. And the work of the Spirit is to set at liberty those who are oppressed. 2 Corinthians says, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I wonder if you would just begin to declare liberty over your brothers and sisters, over the body of Christ, or over yourself this morning. If there's an oppression, if there's a depression in your spirit, I proclaim by the power of the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Spirit of God, I set at liberty those who are oppressed this morning, those who are weighted down by life and frustration and agitation. I set them free by the power of the Spirit this morning. I claim the scripture that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Why don't we give an ovation to the Lord for His power? Come on, praise Him. If you've ever been set free from a mindset that was destructive, why don't you give praise and honor to the Lord this morning? Thank Him for the work of the Spirit in your life, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. These works, these activities in Luke 4 and others were accomplished by the Spirit. They were things that God had promised and that He wanted to accomplish. And so the Spirit enabled Jesus to do them. Things that could only be accomplished by the power of God. You've got some of those things in your life today. This can only happen by the power of God. Sister Sue, Brother Mike's healing. We've taken him to doctors. We've done what we can. He can only be helped by the power of Jesus' name. And you know that, and your faith is in him, and she declares it all the time, and I'm thankful for strong faith, and I'm thankful for a body that supports the faith of that family. Come alongside of them and help build support. When the arms get a little weak, we come underneath and we prop it up because we know, hey, this is something God can accomplish. This is something he can do. Man can't do it. Resources are out, but God is the source of all, and he can do the impossible. Things that only can be accomplished by the power of God, but are accomplished through the people of God. It's only by his power. But we work that power. That power comes through the people of God. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. Say it with me. It is by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by our ability to come up with all the right things to say, to come up with all the right people to call, to come up with all the right counselors to cry to and to pour our hearts out to. It's not in all of that. It's not in our ability at all. It's in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's in the power of the name of Jesus. Only he can accomplish it. Only he can bring Uncle Roy off the ventilator, and he's going to do it because he has all power. And his power will, and it wants to so badly, work through the people of God. You and your inability and your inadequacy does not limit God's power. We're gonna fail. We're gonna mess it up. We're gonna say the wrong thing. We're gonna do the wrong thing. But his power through us can do the right thing at the right time and bring about what he wants to accomplish. But when we get in our own power and we get in our own might, we begin working on what we want to accomplish. And that's when we can get frustrated. Just ask Sarah and Abraham. The promise was to come through Abraham and Sarah, and they thought, okay, God wants to accomplish something. I'll help him out. And they messed it all up. And that's what we do. Our human hands, we're incapable, we're inadequate to meet the problems that come our direction. We're incapable. But God is capable, and when we allow his spirit to work through us, when we allow his power to work through his people, his will be accomplished. And as the spirit-filled church, we want the spirit to work in our midst, do we not? We want the spirit to be at work in our midst. We want God to do a miraculous work when we come together. We're not just here to check off, oh, I was at my 11 a.m. service, or I was at my 9 a.m. service and now I'm good. No, we want God to work. We want his will to be accomplished when we're gathered here together in a spirit-filled church. I ask you today, the church is not the building. The church is you. Are you a spirit-filled church? Are you about your Father's business? Are you about what he wants to accomplish? Are you willing to let his spirit flow through you and accomplish what he wants to do? Because in the same way that the spirit enabled Jesus to do the works that he did, the spirit wants to work through us, through spirit-filled believers. We're mere human. There's nothing special about us except that we're filled by his spirit. And he wants to work through you, and he wants to work through me. But not just here. I've already said this, but not just here within the building at APC. Certainly when we're together for services, we want the ministry of reconciliation. We want people to feel warm and welcome here. We want them to know that they can bring their sins, they can bring their worst past experiences to the presence of God, and he will cover them, and he will give them peace, and he will bring healing to them, because there's healing in the body. We want that here, but we want it everywhere that we go. We need to be what we are everywhere we are. We're a spirit-filled church, not just when we're at 901 Barracks View sitting on a maroon pew. We are the church. We are the spirit-filled church. When you walk out and get in your car, when you walk into your home that may have you have left this morning with some turmoil, with some agitation, or with some frustration, with some worry, when you walk back into that home, you walk in there as a spirit-filled believer. You walk in there with the power to heal the brokenhearted. You walk in there with the power to set at liberty those that are captive. You walk in there to give recovery of sight to the blind, not in yourself, but by the power of the Spirit, because you are a spirit-filled believer. So in your home, and on your job, and in your neighborhood, you are the spirit-filled church. You are the one through whom God wants to accomplish his work. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it because I can already hear you saying it. Not me, Amber. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't have this certain set of abilities to accomplish what you're talking about. I got way off my notes, so I gotta find where I'm. New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. If you've received the Spirit of God, if you've spoken with other tongues, evidenced by which is the evidence of, rather, the infilling of the Spirit. If you've spoken in tongues and received His Spirit, you've been given spiritual gifts. You've been given spiritual gifts. Well, Amber, I don't do this and I don't do that, and that's not really my personality. I don't know what to say except I don't care. I care about you, but I don't. It's not true. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. There are spiritual gifts that lay inside of you, perhaps dormant or perhaps operative, but there are spiritual gifts that reside in every single one of us. For what purpose? To accomplish what He wants done in the world. To what He wants done in our services when we gather together, but to what He wants done in your home and in your job and in your neighborhood. You have spiritual gifts, and I just want to burst the bubble that the enemy might have lied to you and said spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, can only operate in the church. Part of that is true. They can only operate in the church, in a spirit-filled believer. Let's forget about the building, if you will. Let's forget that we even call it the church. It's not the church. It's the building the church meets in. There are gifts within you. Pastor mentioned this morning, we are wounded healers because he was a wounded healer. We disqualify ourselves because of what we're going through, or because everything's not perfect in our lives, or I haven't been healed of my broken heart yet, so how can I heal the brokenhearted? Or I haven't received all the recovery of sight, so how can I help somebody else receive their recovery of sight? We're wounded healers because the power is not in us. The power is in His Spirit. And that is how we can walk into a situation that we ourselves may be facing, but we can speak and the power of the Spirit can work through us because the gifts reside in the body of Christ. And those gifts are not limited to when we are at 901 Barracks View Road. It was COVID that helped me understand that a little bit better. There was 10 of us, 9 or 10 of us, meeting, putting services online back in April, March, April, May. And we had the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit a couple of times. And I'm going to say the specific gift, because when we say gifts of the Spirit, our mind, sometimes mine does, automatically goes to tongues and interpretation of tongues. But there are many more gifts of the Spirit than just that. So maybe you say, well, Amber, I don't speak out in church, or I've never given a message in tongues, so I'm not using the gifts of the Spirit. There are other gifts of the Spirit. There's the working of miracles. There's the gifts of healing. There's the gift of faith. There is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the word of prophecy and discerning of spirits. And they are alive in you this morning. I hope you leave understanding it and operating in it and beginning to activate those things, because God wants to work through His church for the ministry of reconciliation. And so we were meeting here at COVID, and in a couple of services we had a message in tongues, and then there was an interpretation. But I began, as I went home one day, I began to pace my living room floor, and I began to miss the gifts of the Spirit. Because in my mind, I had limited those gifts to this room with people all over our pews. But as I was pacing and as I was praying and thanking God for His Spirit, and wanting so desperately for His Spirit to minister to you in your homes and wherever you were able to go in the shutdown of COVID, the Lord reminded me, my gifts will work anywhere because they operate in you. God is not limited by a building, and He is not limited by me. His Spirit will operate through me. I can speak the word of wisdom or a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge through a text message or in a phone conversation. I don't have to be around an altar. I don't have to have a microphone in my hand preaching. The word of wisdom and the word of prophecy can come when I have been praying in the Holy Ghost, when I have sought the face of God, and when I have been seeking His will. His will be accomplished through my life. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. I want you to, however this message has hit you, I don't even know how this message may have hit you this morning. If it's maybe stirred some of your thinking, if it's maybe displaced some inaccurate or in error thoughts this morning, I want you to give those to the Lord and help Him, have Him help you know how to think and how to pray. But here's what I definitely want us to leave with. I want us to definitely leave with, hey, I'm filled with the Spirit. I am the Spirit-filled church. There are gifts in my life that God wants to activate, and He wants to operate through me. Could you yield yourself to Him right now? Lord, we open our hearts. We open our spirits to Your Spirit. Would You transform us today? We are weak. We are inadequate. We are not strong. We are not capable. But through the power of Your Spirit, we are transformed into a life-giving force. We are transformed, and we can do the works of the Spirit. We can heal the brokenhearted through Your Spirit. We can proclaim liberty to the captives in our families and in our city and in our world. We can proclaim and set free those who are oppressed. And I pray that You would do that right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, let the gifts of the Spirit be in operation right now. Let Your gift of faith unite with the gift of faith sitting next to you on the row. I pray in the name of Jesus that there would be a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom that would come right now through your body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, not just through those on the platform, not just through those on the leadership team, but through absolutely every individual filled with Your Spirit, I pray that You would activate and let the gifts of the Spirit operate in the name of Jesus, so that we can fulfill Your will and so that Your work will be accomplished in the name of Jesus.
Let's keep that going this morning. Would you just pray in the Holy Ghost right now? I believe the Spirit's doing a work that we can't see just yet. Would you pray and just activate some of those gifts and stir those gifts this morning? Oh God, I want to be used. using the gifts of your Spirit. I want to be your church wherever I am, Lord. Help me to be your church at home. Help me to be your church on the job site, God. Help me to be your church at school and to flow in the gifts of the Spirit on a regular basis, that I might help someone else, Lord. That I can edify the body. That I can strengthen those around me. Help me to be the church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to follow His Spirit, church. It is the greatest. He is the greatest resource we have ever been given. While Sister Amber was preaching several minutes ago, she talked about just coming alongside and grabbing one another underneath the arm and just holding each other up and following the Holy Ghost in that way. While she did, I just felt like it'd be a good thing for us to do that for our leaders today. Pastor mentioned in the first service the week that they've had and the family difficulty with Brother Barnhill and his health situation. I just feel like it'd be okay for us to come alongside them in the Spirit and to put our arms underneath our pastor and Sister Williford and their family. And we're just going to be led of the Holy Ghost here, if that's all right. And I know you all would agree. Would you just stretch your hand towards them right now? And then just get in your mind that we're coming alongside and we're lifting them up to, this is what the body does, and this is what the Spirit helps us to do. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we come alongside our leader, we come alongside our pastor and Sister Williford and the Barnhill family and the Williford family, and we hold them up because we're following your Spirit and we're the church. I pray you help them and strengthen them every day and let your Spirit go ahead of them. And we're believing for healing right now for Brother Barnhill, God. We're believing for healing in his body, that your Spirit is going to go to where he is and cause those lungs to work properly and raise him up in the name of Jesus. We're believing, Lord. We're believing for your strength that comes by your Spirit, not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit and by your strength. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I'd like to take this a step further, and I know what time it is, but again, we're going to use the Holy Ghost that's been given to us. If your family is facing something right now, and you just like the church to come alongside and lift your arms, I wonder if you just lift your hand right now and say, you know what, I'll use the church and I'll utilize the strength of the body to come alongside. You see the hands that are lifted, each one in need of strength, in need of a miracle. Would you, church, take their names? Take a Bruce before the Lord. Take a Sue McGuire before the Lord. Speak their name right now and come alongside. In the name of Jesus, we're just being the church right now, Lord. We're just being the church. We're following the Holy Ghost, and we're lifting up those families around us. We're coming alongside of them. We're girding up their arms, Lord. We're lifting their hands today with this prayer. We pray strength in the name of Jesus. We pray healing in the name of Jesus. We speak your peace in the name of Jesus. We pray the strength of the body. We pray that this apostolic Pentecostal church would be the church today and strengthen one another. Thank you for the gifts of your Spirit and the operation of your Spirit, which is to help one another. We're going to be your church today in the name of Jesus. And now would you thank the Lord for the power of his Spirit that we have access to today. I wonder if we just fill this room with worship and praise this morning. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your strength that is above ours and not our own. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So thankful for a church that makes room for us just to follow the Holy Ghost. Makes room for us to be the church. And thankful for the Spirit of God and the Word of God that's helped us today.